That is good. I'm just glad you're here today. Listen, kids in the room, we are so glad that you're here today. If this is your first time this morning, maybe you're here because someone's getting baptized, maybe you're from out of town, you're in town, I don't know. We're glad that you're here, and we're honored that you'd worship with us this morning, but I want to tell you, we don't have the kids in here all the time. And kids, can I tell you, we love when you're in here. We get a bigger picture of what First Wesleyan is. We're not waiting for you to become part of First Wesleyan. You are what makes up First Wesleyan. So I want you to know that we love that you're here. We love that you can lead us in worship. We love that you can worship with us. We love to see your friends get baptized. We just love mornings like this. So thanks for being here. And like I said, if this is like your first time, just know if you're out of town, there's always a home for you here when you come back in town. But if you're from Tuscaloosa, we hope this is kind of a first of many times that you're here. We want to be part of your life. We hope that you want to be part of our lives, and we can maybe grow together at First Wesleyan. So just welcome again and glad that you are here. Now, there's something that I love. Well, I love a lot of things. There's something I love, though, and maybe you love this too, but I love stories. I love hearing stories. You know, as a dad, when my kids come home from school, what they're willing to tell me at least is I love their stories. I love hearing about what their day was like. I love stories. When I was young, to go and talk to my grandparents, to play games and to sit there and hear them talk about what their life was like. I loved hearing those stories from my mom, from my dad. Hearing stories of how we, kind of like what made us become a family, how we got to this place. Just stories really interest me. I love hearing your stories. I love when I get emails or letters or just conversations that we have. I love hearing stories of what God is doing in your life. I love hearing about First Wesleyan's history. Some of you may not know a lot of what got us in this place to where we are today, but there's some very cool stories of people who sacrificed and gave and were generous of time, money, everything to get us to this place today. And I love hearing those stories. Stories are great. But I don't like just hearing stories, I love telling stories. So stories just maybe about me, what makes me up, you know, maybe it's the Canadian side, right? That I was born in Canada and somehow made it to Tuscaloosa, Alabama in America, you know, it's just, I like telling those stories. I love telling stories about my kids and my wife. I love telling stories about you. I love traveling. I love going places and saying, this is what my church is like. This is what God is doing in and through this place. I love telling those stories. I love stories. Because I think stories, what they do is they should inspire us. I think they inform us about life. I think that they connect us in a unique way. And I think that they remind us. I think stories remind us. They remind us of things of the past that mattered. Can I tell you something that I know about people? Is if you listen to their stories, you'll find out what they care about most. If you listen to people's stories, you will hear and understand what they care about the most. And for me, this is one of the reasons we do baptism. I love how we do baptism on Sunday morning, how we celebrate that moment. We could do it many different times, many different ways, but I love that we do it this way on Sunday mornings. I love looking up there and seeing that Jesus matters in specific and significant ways in people's lives. Whether they're older or they're younger, Jesus has made an impact on their life, and that's their story that they're telling. See, and I want these stories that we just saw. I want them to inspire us. This morning, I want them to inform us about a part of them. I want those stories to connect us, and I want those stories to remind us. To remind us of what we have in Jesus and to remind us about what all of this is about, why we're here this morning. I want to remind us what our story in Jesus is. Because this story is not hard. This story isn't hard, but sometimes we forget the impact of it. But when we look at somebody being baptized, when we see what's going on, it's to remind us that we're dying to an old life and finding new life in Jesus. Scripture talks about this conversion process that happens in us, that in order to be a Jesus follower, we have to die to what our life is now so that we can find new life in Jesus alone. And this is no small deal. That's why we're loud. That's why I want us to be excited. That's why I want us to celebrate that. That's why I want us to take those moments and really take them in, because it's not a small deal, and I don't want us to forget the impact that these moments have on our lives. If you've been with us for the last few weeks, you'll know we're in a series titled End of Me. And these stories, this conversation of life and death, follow End of Me to a T. Because being a follower of Jesus is a very specific thing. It's not, honestly, it's not super wide. It's pretty narrow. It's a pretty specific thing. In order to follow Jesus, life can't be about me anymore. That's the message. That life dies so new life can begin. This is the story we have in Jesus. But there's a problem in this. I think there's a problem in this narrative. I think there's a problem in this experience. I think there's a problem in what happened today. Is, I think for some of us, we forget the commitment that we've made when we said we're a believer of Jesus. I think for some today, we've been a follower of Jesus for so long that sometimes we forget the commitment that we made that day that we said that prayer, that day we believed. But for some, it's not you forget. For some, it's something else. Maybe for some, this idea of death to myself, end of me, and new life in Jesus, this isn't actually the story maybe that you've heard before or bought into. And maybe this can be a bit much, thinking about the end of myself and new life in Jesus. Well, here's the problem, is sometimes I think, and I just, it's a wonder. In trying to get people to believe in Jesus, do we short sell what it actually means to be a follower? Do you think ever when we have asked people to believe in Jesus, we're short selling what that really is? And maybe that's an issue, because in believing in Jesus, we are missing or have missed out on the deeper, the expectation of what this life change was supposed to be really in our life. And so I'm not sure where you sit today as we have these baptisms. I'm not sure where you sit today as we talk about end of me. And maybe today, these baptisms are just the reminder that you need. Yeah, oh yeah, I did commit to coming to an end of my life so I can find new life. That's all you need, just a reminder today. Just a little, yeah, I needed that reminder. And I'm glad we had baptism. But maybe for others, it's not a reminder. Maybe today it's a clearer picture you need. Maybe a new clarifying understanding of the story of what all this means. I don't know where you are today, but I'll tell you, if that's maybe you, that you need a clearer picture of the story of what this life in Jesus is, I want to tell you, you're not alone. And there have been plenty of people that have come before you that needed this story to be made clear. And we see it in John chapter 3. We see it in John chapter 3, and you can go there. Well, you know, we'll always have it on the screen. You got your phones with you. But there's this guy, and he sees Jesus, and he's wondering about Jesus' story. He knows that Jesus has a story, and he sees him, and this guy's really smart. He's actually really brilliant, even in Scripture. But what happens is he has this experience with Jesus, and he comes face to face with Jesus' story, and how is that going to mesh with his own? And so I want to read that today. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Will you read with me? Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. And he came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who has come from God." That's an interesting statement. He knows that you're a rabbi coming from God. "No one could ever perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." And Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into the mother's womb to be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but Spirit gives birth to Spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases, and you hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So it's with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus. You do not understand these things. "Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we see, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I've spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. Then how will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him." You may have heard this one before. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Nicodemus was a Pharisee, meaning he was the teacher of Scripture. Okay, you could say he's the teacher of the law. The law is the Scripture. And it seems that he has heard and he has seen what's going on with Jesus' life. And he's the teacher of truth. And now he's curious about the story of Jesus and the truth that he is bringing. So Jesus begins to share with him. But it's not what he expected. It's not what he expected. And something is not connecting with Nicodemus right away. You can see his confusion. You can hear he's like, this doesn't make any sense. Jesus does not give a clear answer. He says, you must be born again. And this is really difficult for Nicodemus because people in his position probably are black and white. They're very rigid. They're very like, this is truth, this is not truth. They create kind of a system of yeses and nos, and now Jesus is saying something that does not make sense. How is it possible that someone can be born again? Jesus explains that something deeper is happening here. You may know this because you've heard John 3 before, and this is like, well, this isn't new. I kind of get it. You know, you've heard pastor talk. But put yourself in the seat of Nicodemus right now. He is sharing something with him that he would not have experienced. He is in the law. He is in the truth. He is in this is right, this is wrong. This is where he lives, and now Jesus is bringing something new. And so this deeper side is something that's spiritual. And Jesus isn't talking about a physical death. He is talking about something very real, and it's a very real death that's taking place. See, Jesus is saying, I think what we're saying is there's a point that you have to come to the end of me. This is the message. This is why I say earlier with the song, Build My Life, that song kind of is declaring, I don't know if you know this, when you are singing, you are declaring this message of end of me, that I build my life on you. My foundation is in you. Everything I have is you. You are the one hope. This is what I need in my life. This is what you're singing. Maybe you don't even realize it. But this is why we sing this song, because we're worshiping about a truth that we're trying to make personal to ourselves. Jesus saying, I must come to the end of me, my ways, my plans, my life. He's saying, Nicodemus, it's something different than what you've lived in. You've lived very rigid. This is right. This is wrong. You believe this and you don't believe this. And he comes in. There's something deeper going on. He's saying I think Jesus is saying to him that you can live completely new ways in faith, in Jesus, filled with the Spirit, following the will of the Father in heaven. This is what's being proposed to you. Nicodemus, you're coming at night. You're coming when people don't see that you're coming to talk to me. You are interested in something maybe being more than just the black and the white, the rules that you've been teaching. Maybe there's something else. I want to tell you, this is why baptisms are so important, why they're healthy for us to experience, why they're healthy for us to cheer. They give us a picture. They tell us a story of what is happening and is supposed to be happening. I think they give a story of what Jesus is trying to tell Nicodemus. It's right there in front of us that as they're going beneath the water, they are being buried to this old life, buried to this old me. And as they come out of this water, it is symbolizing this new life that they've buried the old and there's something new that's coming up. Something that wasn't there before. See, this new life or rebirth is experienced only through personal death. Do we get that? There has to be this process of death for new life. Death for rebirth. We have to go through it. And so this is where I go back to the problem. Maybe sometimes we have forgotten this part of it. Maybe we've said a prayer, I believe in Jesus, but we've forgotten that Jesus has said, but you need to be reborn. And obviously this isn't a physical thing. This is a spiritual death to be reborn into something greater. And this is what's incredible about Jesus for me. When you see Jesus teach a story and a truth, he's giving it to Nicodemus. And it's not something that he isn't going to do himself. When Jesus gives us a truth to live by, this is the beautiful thing. He's not going to give us something that he isn't willing to go through himself. The only difference is for Jesus, you know his story. You know his story is he had to go and experience death on a whole new level. And by dying and being buried, put in that grave, put in that cave, put in that place where when you die, you go and the stone comes before and you are gone. But then he rises again 3 days later, so that we may all have life. Jesus does the thing that he says Nicodemus is going to have to go through. Is this old is gone. And there's something brand new that's coming. Death and rebirth. Jesus does not just preach death. He experiences it. He doesn't just preach new birth. This new life has come through Jesus. See, we illustrate this through baptism. The story, the picture is right in front of us, and I want that to inspire us. I want that to inform us. I want that to connect all of us, and I want that to remind us. The story is right there. but we also get to experience it in a whole different way through something we call communion. In a moment here, we're going to take communion this morning. This in communion is an opportunity to remember. And maybe not just remember, but maybe it's an opportunity to recommit. This idea of I get to follow the steps of Jesus. I get to recommit my life as I take communion to this concept of death to myself. This spiritual thing that I decided to do, that when I say I want to be a follower of Jesus, it's not just a prayer that says, okay, I go to heaven. This is a prayer that says, I don't have my old life. I get a brand new life. And I tell you this morning, this is a very overwhelming concept for some people because we are wired for survival. We are wired to try to push through. We're wired to not give up. This is what the world tells us. But the end of me is a Jesus concept that's completely different. He says you have to give up. And it's not for your bad, it's for your good. It's not for your destruction, it's for life. You have to give up. We have to recommit to this death because on the other side of this is new life. And Jesus is like, I'm waiting for you here. You holding on to the old is what's stopping from the new life that I want to give you. And so we're going to take communion in a moment. And I don't want it to be an experience where we just take some bread and take some juice and it's just another thing. I want us to take the baptisms and I want us to take the communion and I want us to take it and go, I'm not going to leave the same as way I walked in. Because today at First Wesleyan, we celebrate death and rebirth and new life. And we remember and recommit personally as we take that body of Jesus, that blood of Jesus, the symbolizing, this truth of that this is what life is about and this is what I build my life on. It's right here in front of us. We saw it. And we get to experience it. Now, for some people, this is not a recommitment. Maybe this is just a commitment. Maybe you've never walked down this path before. Maybe you've never even thought about it this way before. Maybe at one point you're like, I believe in Jesus, but I'm not sure what this is. And maybe before communion today, you go, God, maybe I should try this. I love hearing the stories, Melissa starting us out going, this was my life before and drugs and substance are destroying me, but life has changed in Jesus. You see, the death was right here and now life is being experienced and she is growing. You see a woman talk about her husband dying and what that does, that brings death. But when we give into this and say, Jesus, I need you, we die to the old and say, there's something else waiting for us on the other side. I believe in you. I give myself to you. I die to this person that's hurting. I die to this person that's going through destruction. I die to this person outside of you. And I give myself to you and I find new life. You see a little girl or boys that just are like, I've known that Jesus loves me and I just want people to know I love him back. I give my life to this. Like, this happens at different phases, different times. And maybe today this is the time you're like, I don't do this. I have a concept of believing in Jesus, but I am not taking this truth that he's trying to give Nicodemus that we need to be born again. In order to be born again, there has to be an end of the old for rebirth to begin. And so maybe taking communion today, you'll take it after saying, God, my life is yours. I die to myself and I'm reborn in you. Because I want this new life. I want the more. I want the everything that you've been wanting to give me. So today we celebrate communion. We celebrate the commitment. And may we recommit today. May we commit today to the life that Jesus has called us to. And may you celebrate when you take that bread and take that juice. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you for the baptisms today. We thank you for what happened today. We thank you that we get to celebrate that you're at work and you're changing lives and you're a part, that you're moving First Wesleyan in a new way, that God, you have something more for us. And I pray the story of this place would be one of death and rebirth. End of me to be reborn in you. That we're filled with your spirit, that when we pass away in our natural, that there's a supernatural that fills us and empowers us and leads us to something more, God. And I pray today, if people have not committed to you, that their story today would be, God, I'll commit myself to you. I will die to myself to you, because at the end of me is the beginning of you, and that's where life is. May that be our story today. God, we thank you for what you did cross for us. We thank you that you went through the ultimate death to experience new life and to give that to us. And we celebrate that today. And may we follow the example that you gave us.